What a wonderful way to start our day today. Really enjoyed that song, the message of that song, the well-worded prayer we've just had. Now an opportunity for us to spend a few moments in God's Word. We're in the Psalms, and this morning we're going to be looking at the 71st Psalm. The 71st Psalm. When we put this series together, I rounded up some of the usual suspects for a series in the Psalms. We knew it wasn't going to be a 150-week series. So we had to cut some out. We had to be selective. And I chose this Psalm from the very beginning, but honestly, I'd not spent a lot of time studying in it until this week preparing for this lesson. I wouldn't say this has become my favorite Psalm, but the stock surely rose as I was studying. And I'm excited to present this to you this morning. Psalm 71 does not have a heading in the Hebrew or English text, but in the Greek and the Septuagint, this psalm is credited to David. The psalms have categories, as we've talked about. Some of them easily fall in the category. Some are hard to put in a category, and that is the case here with the 71st psalm. Some see it as a psalm of lament. I believe it's more of a psalm of praise. One unique feature about this psalm is that it appears to have been written by someone who is approaching old age. And so it is a psalm for those who are older. The psalmist in the psalm looks back at his youth. In Psalm 71, you look at verses 5 and 6. Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb." And then again in verse 17, "O God, you have taught me from my youth. To this day I declare your wondrous works." So the psalmist is at a point in his life where he can look back at his youth. He's not in the days of his youth, but he can look back. But at the same time, he's looking ahead. He's looking ahead to the time of old age. In verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." And in verse 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." Old age. Let's talk about that for just a moment before we really get into this psalm. We just read in verse 9, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails." The English Standard Version says, "My strength is spent." As if you look at life as if you've got so many years, so many days, and so much strength. And when you get to the end of that journey, that strength is spent. There is no getting it back. It is gone. So during that time, there are some needs that arise. There are some challenges to every stage of life, including old age. There are obviously physical challenges. There's an increase in pain. I've heard for a long time, I've heard older people talk about old Uncle Arthur. Arthritis. And there is that pain. But there's also the wearing down of the body, which Solomon puts so very well in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 5. We won't take the time to read that, but look through that and you can see he's talking about the body wearing down. And things don't function like they once did. And that light grows dimmer. But there are also mental challenges that those who are in this stage of life are faced with. Life isn't like it once was. There's a lot of loss. There's the loss of strength, the loss of memory, the loss of energy, lost opportunities that we wring our hands over. There's the loss of independence, which is a great challenge. And there's the loss of loved ones as well. Whereas one time in life, your life was full of family and full of friends, and if you're blessed to live long enough, you've got to say goodbye to many of those. And that takes a toll. But there's also emotional challenges to this stage of life. loneliness. If you talk to any who are older, or you do any study or research at all, that ranks as one of the top challenges emotionally, is dealing with loneliness, finding a purpose in life. These are all things that our senior brethren deal with. The concern, Psalm 71, is the threat of physical enemies. Verse 4, verses 10 and 11, verse 13, verse 24. And that would certainly fit if David is the writer. He had enemies all throughout his life. You and I, chances are, I'm not talking to any seniors this morning who have physical enemies that they have to watch out for. But there are instructions that are found in this psalm that uniquely pertain to this stage of life. And that's why we're studying this psalm this morning. We're not going to look at it verse by verse as we have many of the psalms, because it's not arranged that way. Instead, I see five themes in this psalm, and we're going to pull out the verses that apply to these themes. What are some things that our seniors need from God? What are some things that older Christians need from God? This psalm addresses five of these things. First, they need to be near God. When they reach this age in life, as they are getting older more and more, they need the presence of God. After the psalmist begins by calling for God's deliverance, he then acknowledges that God is that source of refuge. Verse 3, "Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually." That word continually in verse 3 is an important word in this psalm, as well as other words we'll look at as we go through. It's found in verse 3, verse 6, and also in verse 14. And continually, that idea that I need you all the time. God isn't just something that this person now, in this stage of life, can take here and don't need over here. There's an acknowledgement, I need you continually. I need you all the time. You have given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Other verses speak of this need. Verse 7, you are my strong refuge. Verse 12, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Verse 18, O God, do not forsake me. When we feel like we've been forsaken by family, when we feel like we've been forsaken by people, we feel like we've been forsaken by the world, it's easy to feel like we've been forsaken by God. And if we begin to feel that way, then Satan has an open door to attack our faith. The last thing Satan wants is for you and I to cross that finished line as victorious, faithful Christians. So if Satan was unable to destroy our faith in our youth, and he was unable to destroy our faith during young adulthood or middle age, he's not going to give up just because we've retired. He's got some time left to destroy our faith, and he's going to try to do it. And so there is this need for God. There's this need for the presence of God. There's this need for the strength that comes from God. We need to remember that God has promised that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Therefore, we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. Who do I have to fear?" As we're taught in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. When we're facing loneliness, when we feel like we're forsaken, we need God. And our senior brethren most definitely need the presence of God in their lives. This psalm acknowledges this. God's presence in our lives should give us confidence. And those who are older in the faith need this confidence. But here's an interesting observation. Those who are older in the faith, those who are of old age, have an advantage over those who are younger. They have personal experience. God has dealt with them their entire lives. And so instead of taking these promises from God on faith, they have faith plus personal experience. Look at verses 15 and 16. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Notice verse 15 and 16 both mention righteousness. Righteousness is another theme in this psalm. This psalm of all the virtues of God, this psalm focuses on His righteousness, His right dealings with mankind. And for a Christian who's lived their entire life serving God, by the time they reach old age, yes, they can see where God was right. They can see where God's ways are right. And so they're ready and able and well equipped and in the best position to defend God's righteousness. Verses 20 and 21. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Just stay right there at verse 20. It's not hard to see how it could have been David who wrote this psalm. Because David went through that valley a lot. David had to deal with a lot of low points in his life, but what did he learn? Every time God did what? God brought him up from all of them. And those among us who have lived longer and have been through those valleys of life can say with the psalmist, yes, God brought me up out of every one of those. I know He'll bring me up from this one. I know that God will be with me. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. What do seniors need? What do older Christians need? They need the confidence, the assurance that God is going to be with them all the way through to the very end. God's going to be with them as they cross that finished line. It's here I want to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, and look at verses 3 and 4. I'd like for us all to look at these verses, especially those who are older. These are verses in which God makes a promise to each and every one of us regarding our old age. Our old age. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age I am He, and even to the gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. There is God's promise to His people who are of old age. I've been with you all along. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to carry you through all the way to the end. What do seniors need? They need confidence. They need confidence, and they find that in God. Third, this psalm addresses the fact that seniors need hope. They need hope. Loneliness, despair, fear, and depression are all challenges that seniors can face. As much as in any stage of life, those who are older need hope. Verse 5, for you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. Verse 14, but I will hope continually. There's another place where that word continually is found. I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. Hope for the Christian is not a wish, like, I hope I get such and such for my birthday. No, the hope for the Christian is confident expectation. I hope, I have a hope to receive it because God has promised it and God is faithful. For those who are older, hope works in this way. Hope is the ability to wait patiently in spite of delay and even disappointment. It is a hope that is strengthened with bright expectation, knowing that God will never forsake us, but will always strengthen us and meet our needs for the remainder of our journeys here. Our hope is an anchor of the soul, Hebrews chapter 6 and at verse 19 says, because the other end of that anchor is fastened to God who cannot lie. God who promised to be with us all the way through to the end. Those who are older need hope, and they find it in God. Those who are older need purpose. They need purpose. Sometimes older people feel like they've been put out to pasture. Sometimes they've done this to themselves. Sometimes they feel like others have done this to them. But they can't do things like they once did, and so there's the temptation to feel like, well, I can't do anything. And that's not true. The psalmist, throughout this psalm, is making it clear that he has a purpose even in old age. Now, in verse 7, this statement is made, I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. That word wonder in the New King James Version is translated from a Hebrew word that's not used very often in the Old Testament. Other translations render it as marvel. The New American Standard Version says marvel. I found it interesting the English Standard Version says portent, which I thought the newer translations were supposed to use words that we're familiar with. I don't use the word portent very often. I'm more familiar with wonder or marvel. But the idea of a portent is a sign of something. Oftentimes a sign of something bad, but the word itself is used in both the positive and negative in the Bible. It's a word that was used to refer to the plagues and the other powers that God performed in order to bring Israel out of Egypt. And that became a sign to all the other nations that their God was powerful. Remember what Rahab told the spies? We've heard of what your God has done. Well, God became Israel became a wonder, a marvel of what God was able to do. Look at what the psalmist says. My life at this stage in my life is something that others can see and know how God works in the life of His faithful people. God has brought me through in my life. I'm a living example of His righteousness and His goodness. So the psalmist says, there's my purpose. There's my purpose to glorify God in my life and to let those who are younger see what they have to look forward to if they're faithful unto God, that God will bring them through. Verses 15 and 16, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Life's experiences put them in the best position to be able to tell of the salvation and the righteousness and the power of God. But I find this verse very interesting. Every once in a while, you mine some gems out of the Old Testament. And here's one right here. There's several in this psalm, by the way. Look at this. I do not know their limits. You and I, regardless of how long we live here and how much we experience and how much time we spend studying the Bible, we don't know the limits of God. We don't know the limits of His wisdom and His power and His righteousness and His salvation. We can just talk about what we do know. We can never exhaust this subject. How amazing that is. Verses 17 and 18. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. There is no God like our God. And I believe those who are older are in the best position to make this known from their experience and their life. Listen to me, older Christian. And listen to me, Christian who hopes to get old one day. There is no greater purpose for the continuation of your life here on this earth than to tell the next generation about God and the glory and the majesty and the power and the salvation of your God. That's why you're here. That is your purpose. And what that means for those of us who are younger is that there are times that we need to close our mouths and we need to listen to what those who are older have to say about God and about what they have found to be true about life from God's perspective in serving God. Those who are older have a wealth of things to teach us. And finally, those who are older still need to praise God. Still need to praise God and perhaps have more reason to do so than any of us here. My praise shall be continually of you. There's the third time that word is used. I'm going to continually praise you. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. I will praise you yet more and more, verse 14. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. I find that phrase very interesting. When we're younger, we want to talk about what we've done and what we've accomplished. And by the time we get to the end, we realize we haven't done anything. It's been God who's done it. So I'm going to talk about God and God only. And I'm going to praise Him. That's one thing that we learn as we go through. Verses 22 through 24, as the psalm comes to a close, it ends on this note of praise, which I say this is a psalm of praise. Also with the lute I will praise you and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. I want to spend some time looking at that designation of God right there. Holy One of Israel. Maybe we'll have a sermon on that someday. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all day long. Our assemblies need to be a place where the older members can participate in and express their praises unto God and not be told to move aside for the younger generation. Our older members need to find this as a place where they can join in and they can sing. And while we do a great job of incorporating everyone that we can into our services, I want to encourage those who are younger to look more to those who are older as we're worshiping together. Take your cues from those who are older. Listen to the prayers that are worded by the older saints. Listen to the comments that are made at the table by those who are older. Let's learn from them. They have so much to teach us. But our assemblies are a place for us to praise. And those who are older have a great need and desire to praise and worship God. And let's never, never be a hindrance to that. Every stage of life has its challenges. And here at Knollwood, we give a lot of attention to the challenges of those who are younger. And rightly so. Rightly so. But those who are raising those who are younger have challenges. Those who are in the time of middle age have incredible challenges. For those of you who think it's going to get easier then, no, it has challenges. And I've been told all along that it takes a strong person to get old. Growing old has some unique challenges of its own. This psalm addresses those challenges. What needs do our senior members have, those who have reached their golden years? Well, among other things, they need strength from God. They need confidence. They need hope. And they need a purpose. And they find all these things in God, which leads them to praise and worship God. God is present in every stage of our lives. I usually close by asking, have you found yourself in this psalm? I know some of you have. Let me close today by saying this. One day, we're all going to find ourselves in this psalm. Let's remember that it's here. And let's go back to it again and again. And let's prepare ourselves for this, if God allows, this coming stage in our own lives. And let's remember that God provides everything that we need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for our lives that you've given us. And although we have no promise of tomorrow, we do have a realistic anticipation of growing older one day. And we're thankful for the promise from your word that you will never forsake us, even in that stage of our lives. We pray for those of our number here who are older, who do struggle with the different challenges that come with that stage of life. And we ask that you would bless them, that you would give them strength and give them a renewed confidence, that they would find their hope in you, that they would remember they serve an important purpose, and that they would always have their hearts open in praise and worship unto you. May we always remember to respect and honor those who are older, and to look unto them for our cues, to look unto them for our instruction, to look unto them for the example that they set before us. We thank you today for our older brethren. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.